the real challenge of most organizations is on the onboarding. And I'm not talking about filling out the HR forms, right? And giving them the tour of the office and the meet and greets and taking the lunch. I'm talking about making sure that you are setting them up for success day one, to day 90, to day 900.
Hey there, it's Liston Witherell with the Inside Selling Podcast. And today I'm very excited to have Royce Robbins with me. Now, Royce is the Director of Operations over at Peak Sales Recruiting. Now, you may listen to Royce and you think, well, he's a sales recruiter. What does he really know about sales? Well, I need you to know something. He's been doing this for over 5 years. In that time, he's helped hundreds of companies make critical sales hires. And before he got to Peak, he had a really successful career as a salesperson himself. So Royce, I'm excited to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Liston.
Absolutely. So what we want to talk about today, Royce, is something that you're all too familiar with, and that is the challenge of hiring great salespeople. So a couple problems that we see often are that, you know, people say, I don't have any experience doing this. Some people say, I don't really know what to do in order to hire good people because I've hired some duds. And then other people say, I've hired great people before, but I have no idea how to suss out who's great and who's not. What would you say to someone who had any of those three big problems?
Well, first off, you're not alone. Drawing from my own experience, I can completely 100% appreciate the position we put sales leaders in when they have to actually grow, expand, replace critical members of their team. I mean, I go back to time when I was building teams and we signed a very, very large contract, largest we ever had in our company history. We had to grow the team. We needed support people in the sales function to do this. And there I am, my goal and my everything I was KPI'd on and measured on was directly was related to driving sales. And now I've got to take time out of my already busy schedule to hire somebody. And frankly, I wanted them in that seat faster than yesterday. And was I as diligent as I could have been in ensuring that not only did I understood what I needed, but that I was actually assessing them properly, and then frankly gave them enough time to onboard them. So I got to say that there's probably 9 out of 10 people, salespeople, and maybe even all everyone's going to say I can relate to that those problems directly.
Yeah, and so they're big problems. And one thing you mentioned to me when we were talking before the recording was, you think these are solvable problems, so why don't you talk a little bit about the cause? What is so difficult about hiring in the first place, and why are most people inconsistent at it?
Sure. Let's break it and make it easy for the conversation. We'll break it in a couple different things. Why is it hard to actually hire salespeople? Let's be honest. Salespeople are different than anybody else on the planet. Some people love them. Some people, they pick up the phone, they hear a salesperson, and they cringe going, ah, I'm going to get sold. There is a different type of person that is successful in sales. And I'm not just talking about the one that makes everybody cringe. I'm talking about the one that everyone loves to talk to. You can think of those people who you consider as trusted advisors that when you need help, you're calling them in the organization because they can make things happen for you quickly. These are the top ones. This is what everybody wants to have in their organization, but has a hard time understanding what makes them tick. This is what we call the DNA. So when we are actually talking with our clients about getting that critical sales hire, it's the first one. I've done lots of those. Those are lots of fun with organizations who, you've got an entrepreneur who has got a great idea, has built this company from scratch, but he's also or she's been the salesperson and person on to the other organization that is, Fortune 500 doing well, worried about their, stock fluctuations, but they absolutely need to get this new product out with a brand new sales team, both unique situations and, to attract the right candidates. But at the end of the day, you're generally looking for a very specific type of person. We find that, the research that we've done and we've read about and that's in the industry is generally, top performing salespeople are outgoing. They're extroverted by their very nature. They have a high need of interaction with people. This is that they get jittery if they're not in a, you know, talking with people and having those one-to-one or even group setting interactions. They're driven, they're ambitious, they're competitive. But more importantly than anything else is their sense of urgency. And there are tools you can use out there, whether it's psychometric profiling or methodologies from hiring, where you can suss out the level of urgency that somebody takes on in anything that they actually do. So I think that the DNA comportion, understanding how somebody is geared naturally, not how do they turn themselves into a pretzel, because that's hard to sustain over time. Like if you're not naturally an extroverted person, you're introverted by nature, your first inclination is to send an email versus picking up the phone and talking to somebody, it's going to be hard for you to actually want to constantly pick up that phone. And if you're in an environment where that's a requirement, you need to pick up the phone. Could be, you know, it's probably not the right fit. You need somebody that's their natural inclination, and they want to make that one-to-one connection.
So is it fair to say that when you're hiring on behalf of a client or someone at Peak Sales is hiring on behalf of a client, you're very much favoring what you see as their innate personality rather than the skills they acquired? In other words, it's more of a nature than a nurture kind of thing when you're looking at, on average, the top performers?
Well, that's an interesting one. So nature versus nurture is a different concept entirely. So when we're talking about their natural inclination, who they are as a person, whether they're driven, ambitious, or you know their sense of urgency, I think that can actually, that is the cherry on top, if you will. That is the verification of what you've seen. I think where it really starts, and this is the second portion, not only understanding the DNA. So if you're in an organization and you're the primary hiring manager, nobody else is in that decision, you understand what makes up a great salesperson. That's great. But what if you're bringing in your VP of HR with you who is not a salesperson and doesn't understand that sense of urgency and that it's really okay for a salesperson to ask direct questions related to compensation because they need to know that the money they put the effort in is in ROI, right? The other side is when you're looking at whether or not they can do the job, this is really interesting. If you're going into an interview without understanding of what the objectives of that role is, now I'm not talking about accountabilities and responsibilities. Those are job description. That is you're going to see them, the nice big bulleted list that come out all the time and they sound wonderful, you know, strong communicator, and they're going to do the following tasks. When you're looking for a top performing sales rep, actually, what you really want is what are they going to achieve? So if you were to look in your crystal ball and say, 6 months down the road, what have they accomplished in the organization? Then I'm going to go down maybe another 18 months. Look at it again going, well, they've been with the organization a year and a half. What have they accomplished within that time period? And if I can give some structure around what that view looks like, I can then back it and go, okay, I'm looking for somebody not only who can do that, done that or something extremely similar in my industry or a similar industry to give me the best chance of predicting future outcome. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want, it sounds like behavior, previous behavior is the number one thing that you'd be looking for.
Yeah, I want quantifiable evidence
right.
that you're a rock star. Let's be honest. Well, and we're in sales. We want rock stars, right? I mean, if we're going to put it out there. We want the people who are going to come in and have a material impact on our organization from a revenue standpoint. Not only are they going to drive revenue, but they're going to increase our market share. They're also going to increase the profile of the company through the activities that they're doing. This is super important. This is what top performing sales reps do because, another stat there for you that just recently came out is top performing sales prep spends 36% more time selling than their counterparts who are not hitting quota.
Interesting. What would you attribute that to?
Focus, urgency. They're spending it on where it needs to be done, right?
Right.
They're not spending their time reorganizing lists of things that they need to accomplish. They're actually, the top reps that I talk to, they have, they're almost ruthless, if you will, in their evaluation of opportunities. So if they're looking at this going, okay, I've got 30 opportunities in my pipeline right now, they're going to go through it and go, these are the three that are actually going to close. The other ones can wait. And I'm going to focus all my attention on those ones, close them, then move on to the next one.
Right.
So when it comes to triage, they're ruthless.
Well, so let's talk about this. So I'm, first of all, shocked that no one's come to you and said, give me a below average performer. That's what I really want. So if someone's in the hiring process, right, what are some ways that they can maybe not guarantee, but minimize the risk of hiring people who aren't really going to do the job well? What are some ways they can put structure around that hiring process?
Yeah, so first off, you need to really look internally a little bit, right? You need to look at what you're currently doing, and this is where I already alluded to it, and saying, hey, let's project out, where do we need the business to be? What do we need to where to happen? And you can do two things. You can put your benchmark and saying, this is what I'd like to be. I want them doing $3 million revenue. Great. Is that the requirement that they need to accomplish in year one? No, the minimum that I absolutely need them to do is here. But if they're successful, here's where they're going to be at. So you're actually pinpointing this and then aligning it with what your team is currently doing, what it can support, what the market's able to do. And then you start actually diving into creating, we call them mandatory criteria. And what that is this is the table stakes, if you will. When we're evaluating, this is hard. As an agency, we're external to the culture of an organization. So that's a really hard thing for anybody, if you're not living in the culture, to be able to understand how it works and doesn't tick. So we rely heavily on evidence, quantifiable evidence that you have accomplished certain things, right? So if you're going to be looking for somebody who's coming in, they're going to be managing the West Coast. They're going to be responsible for bringing in 3 net new logos every single quarter with an average deal size of 300K. That's what you're looking for, because in order to hit their goals, in order for the company to achieve, in order for them to be successful in their particular role, that's what we need as an organization. If I went out and I said, oh, I really like this guy, he's only been, you know, in New York City, hasn't sold anywhere outside of that, but I think he can do the job. And his average deal size is 50K, and he's holding a quota of $1 million. Can I realistically think that he is going to be able to ramp in the time frame that I need as a sales leader to achieve my goals that have been set down by the executive quickly?
Right. Yeah. And so I do want to get away, though. One thing you said before we started recording that I loved was, a lot of people will make this classic hiring mistake, and that is, you know, I think this one person A, seems great, but I don't know if she's right, because person B, I really like that person. So what are some structure or actual steps you would recommend, especially people who haven't done a lot of hiring or haven't done it successfully? What are some of those steps that they should build in to avoid that problem?
Great question. We all espouse in sales to, or at least adhere to, a sales process. I mean, it's kind of the lifeblood of the industry, right? Scalable and repeatable process. Well, I mean, when you're recruiting, you're hiring. It's like the second cousin to sales. I mean, it's so interrelated. It's uncanny. In recruiting, we have funnels, right? Just like we have in sales, except it's instead of leads and opportunities, right? So, If you want to actually give yourself the best chance of success, you need to have a structured, rigorous, scientific approach to how you're doing this. A great methodology that if you haven't done anything, you've applied, I love upgrading for sales. It's a real short book. It's easily digestible for those of us in sales who like bullet points and want to get right to the point. So it doesn't take a long time to read, but the content of this will revolutionize how you approach evaluating candidates, because it takes out the gut. We have to get away from, it's nice that you like somebody, but can they do the job that you need them to do? And the best evidence that you can get, or the best guarantee you can give yourself, is prior evidence that they have done that before or have done something so similar that is transferable.
Right. And so, okay, so we would definitely look for previous experience. So that would be one of our big checkboxes. Do you recommend psychometric testing? So something like DISC or Myers-Briggs or something like that?
I think it has a good play in there. I think there's a lot of value to it. I mean, I came from a corporate training previously, where I was selling things like that. I think there's a lot of value to it, absolutely, because it gives you a view into motivations, why people do certain things that they do, what their communication styles are, helps open up communication lines within the organization. But the one thing you have to be careful with psychometric profiling, like DISC and Myers and PI assessments, cognitive testing that seems to be coming out a lot, PI is using that right now in a big way, is that it only accounts for a small decision. Usually we like to say it's about 15% of the hiring decision, maybe as high as 20%. It is it's the cherry on top, okay? It's the verification of what you've already done. So if you know exactly what you achieve and you've got that criteria, they need to have this. And they come to the table with that. Then you can see the evidence of what they've done. Over the last 5 years, they have achieved their quota year over year, anywhere from 125% to 175%. Their quota, you know, and you've got all this evidence that can say, not only are they they're a salesperson, but they're a great salesperson because they're consistently achieving the targets that are put in front of them. Then I can look at the psychometric profile, and it kind of gives me a good verification of, I can see that. I can see they have a strong sense of urgency. I can see that they're a driven, extroverted type of personality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just wave a magic wand here. Let's say we understand the DNA of the salesperson. We understand what makes them different and how they'll be different than a lot of other functions within our company. Let's say we put together a great hiring process that's documented and we stick to it every single time, and we've hired a great person. Now that she's on board as the salesperson who's going to come in and be that top 10% performer, is our job done? What do we do next?
Absolutely not. I think that's where the rub is. That's where the real work begins. Once you've put in the structure beforehand, that's a scalable, repeatable. You can continue to repeat that process and you refine it. The real challenge most organizations has is on the onboarding. And I'm not talking about filling out the HR forms and giving them the tour of the office and the meet and greets and taking the lunch. I'm talking about making sure that you are setting them up for success day one, right through to day 90 to day 900. Right. And what that has to look like is you've not only got to, you know, bring them in and indoctrinate them with your culture and make sure that they're 100% on board, but you need to make sure that they're set up with the tools that they require, that they completely 100% understand your value proposition. Daily check-ins, whether that's a daily huddle, if you follow that methodology, you absolutely should be having a weekly one-on-one new salesperson to discuss, what challenges they currently have, what are the successes that we can celebrate with you, what are the failures and what are we learning from those failures that's going to help us move forward. And I think a lot of organizations go, hey, I got this rock star. They're amazing. They're going to tell me everything that they need to do and I'm just going to let them go. Okay, you tell me when you need something. And then 2 months down the road, and I've had these conversations, we talked about this earlier as well, where, I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe that this organization spent all this time, energy, and money to attract exactly who they need. They're super excited. And then 2 months in, I'm having a call with a client and they're going, I just don't understand what they're achieving. And I start asking, okay, well, excuse me, when's the last time how was the last, weekly meeting with them? Oh, I don't have a set time that I schedule with them. They hadn't actually put any metrics in front of them that were scalable, that were achievable, and that they could actually talk to. I think that's probably more than just, here's your big quota. Let's talk about how we're going to get there. What are the steps?
Yeah, so I have a follow-up question on that. I have so many follow-ups on the onboarding, training, and coaching, but I'm going to reserve this into one last question here, and that is a lot of teams who are hiring sales for the first time, they have no salespeople, or maybe one of their founders has a sales background, but basically they have no sales structure in place. Mm-hmm. Often one of the reasons a startup would hire for that position is because they say, I don't have time for this. I don't want to do it. I want someone else to take this. I really don't want to be bothered with it. I'm just going to bring someone else in and let them not only A, figure it out themselves, but B, start selling. What do you say to people in that position who really don't know what to do to place that structure and set up that salesperson for success, knowing though that they need to do it in order to give them a shot at success?
Great question. So I'm going to go right back to what we said. What do we need to achieve? So in this scenario, brand new, it's the first salesperson in there. What we need to achieve is we actually need to set up some structure. We need sales structure. There really isn't any there outside of what you've done to get to where you are right now. And we know that if it's you don't have a salesperson and you're in a startup environment, that it only goes so far. It will only scale so far based on the level of effort you can do. You have to bring somebody else in to do that. So what I would suggest in those cases is, one of two things. You either bring in somebody who is like, and give you some horsepower. This is, they're going to do the lead generation for you, and you can give them some pretty straightforward structure on that to help them gen. But then you're going to end up with a choke point, which is you being able to actually handle the amount of volume of leads that these people bring to you. So the other side, and I think it's much easier way to actually scale the business is to bring in somebody who has done that before. And what I mean by that is they've actually grown a team from little or nothing. They've come in, maybe they've two customer service reps that have been there, or they've come in and actually grown a team and built that structure before, because they're going to understand some of the challenges that are there. They're going to be able to coach somebody who is maybe not innately a salesperson or hasn't been really in a sales role for a long time. And they're going to be able to actually provide that really necessary information and experience and apply it to what you're going to need going forward.
Well, fantastic, Royce. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And one thing that you mentioned was the onboarding process and making sure people get going right off the bat. One thing that we can offer at Sales DNA is a one-day onboarding program. So if you go to salesdna.co/onboard, you can get our what to do template to get your reps on the phone on day one, because that's a big pain point. We're seeing most teams take two weeks to 6 months sometimes to onboard their reps. So we have a better way for that. Royce, thank you so much for being here. Question for you, if someone wanted to get a hold of you or to stay in contact with you and follow up, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I'm pretty much out there on the World Wide Web in a bunch of different ways. LinkedIn's a great avenue for me. Twitter's another one that I use heavily. If you type in sales recruiting anywhere in North America, chances are you're going to come up with our name as well. And website at Peak Sales Recruiting. I mean, this is what we do. This is what gets me up in the morning every single day. I get excited by helping other organizations get the right people in play. And this is all we do is recruit salespeople, right from reps to VPs across North America and Europe. So best way to get a hold of me is right through LinkedIn.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here, Royce.